Oh, yeah, a little Godsmack brings us in. It's Bucks at 6 across ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strope hanging out with you until 7 o'clock tonight as we continue to break down. I can't take this seriously. As we continue to break down the Bucks' Game 2 loss to the Boston Celtics last night at TD Garden in Boston. It was an ugly one. We bring in the reinforcements now. You hear him on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network as an analyst. You also hear him before the show on these very stations, a part of Scalzo and Brust. It is the great Ben Brust. Benny, I know you're going to a concert next door to where I am right now tomorrow. You're seeing Ben Rector at the Sylvie. I hear the Bucks game got pushed back to Saturday because Godsmack is at Fiserv Forum. Is there any chance you will be attending that one as well?
I can confirm with 100% certainty that I will not be there. I have some plans on Friday on my day off. I'm going to get a pedicure at 11 o'clock.
No way.
And then I have a guarding against cancer event since I can't be at the Saturday signature event that is at the Kohl Center.
Okay, so you're getting... All right. There's so much to unpack. I mean, I want to ask you why when the Bucks lose, they tend to lose big, or why they only shot 18 threes last night. But now I'm fixated on the pedicure, Benny. I know you've talked about this before, but I don't know that I'm fully informed. How often do you get a pedicure? Is this like a regular thing?
Yes. So I'm going with my old roommate, Brittany, who's been mentioned on Scalzo and Brust many times. She's a saint. We call it a girl's day. Where we go together and we, you know, I swear to you, I'll show you the text. I think it speaks for itself, Strofe. I'm going to have a girl's day on Friday.
I'm sweating because I'm trying to hold back. So hold on. So you're taking 2 days off this week. One, to go to a Ben Rector concert. And number two, to have a girl's day so you can get a pedicure? Are you serious? This has to be a bit. This is a joke, right?
No, those are my plans for my 2 days off work. But I'm going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to drink some margaritas. I'm going to go to the Ben Rector concert, drink a ton of Bud Light. And then I'm going to go on Friday. We have 11 o'clock pedicure, so I'm going to be hungover and not want to move, which will be fine. I won't move until the pedicure. Get some lunch, have some mimosas, and I'll have a screwdriver. And then I got an event for Guarding Against Cancer. So I'm booked solid, man.
Wow. That is Ben Brust, the unbelievable Ben Brust. I say unbelievable, not because I respect you, Ben. I say unbelievable because of what you just told me. I'm a little blown. I'm taken aback here. I'm blown away. So
I tend to do that, Strofe.
Yeah, you do have that power on people. All right, let's talk basketball because I can't talk about pedicures anymore. Why is it when the Bucks lose, they just tend to lose huge, right? I threw out the stat earlier in the playoffs of their 7 losses last year. 4 of them were double digits or more. Last night, they could never really get back into it. They made a push there towards the end of the game, but it was too little too late at that point. What is it about losing and losing big with the Milwaukee Bucks?
I mean, look, they're competitors, and you know, I think they did obviously have the intentions of going and winning that game. But there's a game within the game, and I think you were sort of hinting at this a little bit of a 7-game series and how long it is. And I just think about after 2 games of the first series, that's when Giannis really figured out what to do against the Bulls. And I kind of think the same thing here. Chris Larson very astutely pointed out that Grant Williams and Al Horford were guarding Giannis one-on-one, so the rest of the team didn't help off shooters and really cut off those direct pass shots, even to like Bobby Portis couldn't get in a rhythm for 3. So from game 1 to game 2, the strategy shifted. Game 1, the Celts guarded Giannis the same way that the Bulls did. And guess who found how to have success against the double team? Mr. Giannis. And so now it's a little bit of a recalibration, right? You know, if I'm be guarded one-on-one, I shouldn't go back to the basket with Grant Williams or Al Horford. It should be ball screen at the 5, roll, have Grayson and Drew create offense downhill. If Giannis has it, he has to continue to go downhill and not be scared of charges, because the back to the basket against those 2 physical defenders one-on-one just isn't going to work. So he showed he was going way more downhill in the second half, way more aggressive, got to the free throw line, finished with some and one. So their defense played a little bit better in spurts in the second half. Obviously, Jaylen Brown, you can't prepare for a 9 out of 10 outburst. So I'm still optimistic as can be with where this team is at.
Yeah, Ben, we talked about it a bit last week, but I mean, we knew there was going to be a game at some point, right? Where the Celtics just went bananas from three. And I think, you know, it seemed like the Bulls did that as well last series in game two. So it's just, I feel less confident saying this about the Celtics like I did the Bulls, but it's really hard to replicate a performance from outside like they had last night. Do you feel the same way?
No, and I know you want me to bring nuggets to the show, and you found out that the 51-point differential from the three-point line in Game 2 of the Boston Bucks game yesterday was pretty astounding. But the last time, according to Joe and Key Wascom, that the differential was larger than that in the playoff game was when the Golden State Warriors played the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Eastern Conference Finals. There was a 54-point differential. So, yeah, not great when your differential is 51 points from three. And as you mentioned, the attempts were half of what the Bucks normally attempt. Again, you accomplished a win on the road in game one. You head home, and think about this. A year ago, people were saying, down 0-2 to the Nets. Who's going to be our next head coach? Now the situation is tied 1-1 to the young and rising Celtics. Can we hold home court? I trust that the coaching staff, Coach Bud being through this as an assistant, having four rings with the Spurs, one as a head coach, will be able to calibrate a game plan to get Giannis efficient against the Celtics in game three.
So far, we've talked about pedicures, Ben Rector concerts, and Joe from Key Wascom stats, which, Ben, that is an accurate stat because I was also watching SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt last night, and that's where that's where that one was shown. So shout out to Joe from Key Wascom there. Why does this team, you know, it's every series, right? It seems, as you mentioned earlier with Giannis, he kind of figures it out after two games. Games three and four seem to be Mike Budenholzer's strong suit. That was the case last year, and even years prior. It just seems like the games three and four is really where they fall into a rhythm and start to figure teams out. I imagine they will shoot more than 18 threes on Saturday then.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you adjust game by game to what the team is throwing at you. And ultimately, sometimes it's a simple game, and Coach Bud would be the first to say it. You either make shots or you don't. And someone famously told me, as a coach, when someone shoots a three-point shot, good coach, bad coach, good coach, bad coach, it goes in, good coach. You know, like sometimes it's just the players that you have and the ability for them to make plays in the positions that you put them in. And again, that's where, for me, it all comes back to the experience that this team has together as a core. Greg Scalzo made this point that I actually found really interesting. Because it's something to think about. The Celtics have young stars in Tatum and Brown. They are almost going through that learning curve right now of facing adversity, trying to win a playoff series against the world champions. The Bucks went through this as well. I mean, they just did. The adversity from the bubble. The adversity from coming down 0-2 against the Nets. The adversity against the Suns going down 0-2. The adversity of closing out the Hawks without Giannis. The Bucks have done this all. So Jaylen Brown, is his right hamstring that he's grabbing in the second half, is that going to affect him in a seven-game series? The Bucks have just been through it, and I know you played Pat Connaughton sound before I joined you, and it was just spot on. It was like they're prepared already for the adversity because they've been through it. You can't prepare for adversity you haven't seen unless you've been through it. And the Boston Celtics are going to be going through that during the season, and that's where I give the Bucks the mental edge of what they went through last year, getting it done, becoming world champions.
Avid listener of the program, as well as former Summer League teammate of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ben Brust with us here on Bucks at 6. I asked you after game two of the Chicago series, Ben, who you would like to see step up offensively. I'm going to answer for you and ask specifically about Brook Lopez, because he's taken only 9 shots so far through two games in this series, which is the least of any starter for Milwaukee. Obviously, it's a matchup thing, right? I think that's very evident when you watch the game. But how do you suspect he can step up offensively, because what we saw to him in the first two games against Chicago is certainly some of the output I'd like to see here moving forward against Boston.
Yeah, I thought Brook played really well around the rim. You know, he was able to hit his push floaters, his 1-2 sort of turnaround fadeaway. Like, he found a rhythm offensively. And prior to the series against the Bulls, his season high heading into the playoffs was against the Bulls. So Brook had the Bulls' mark. Now, where I think Brook can be effective in a series like this is if they're going to continue to guard Giannis one-on-one. Naturally, if Robert Williams is guarding a Brook Lopez, guess what Robert Williams has been trained to do? He's been trained to sit in the paint and try and help and block shots. Yeah. So if they're going to, you know, really try and go one-on-one and Brook is going to be out there, Brook has to be able to space the floor and knock down threes. And again, he's shown the ability to score around the rim, and he's shown the ability to knock down shots. I mean, that's where I think Brook can be of best value, is spacing the floor and knocking down some open threes, which will ultimately help open up the lane for Giannis by drawing a bigger defender like a Robert Williams or an Al Horford if he's on him, and Grant Williams is on Giannis. So that's how I think he could be most effective in the series.
Fair enough. Ben, I heard you talking earlier on Scalzo and Bruss, but you can hear 4 to 6 p.m. on these stations if you're listening to us right now. And, you know, you have the same problem as me, it seems, whereas we like to be overconfident for Wisconsin sports teams, and then they go out and poop the bed, kind of like the Bucks did last night. So can you just say right now that the Celtics are going to win Game 3 so the Bucks do, please?
See, I feel like that magic only works from 4 to 6. Because I've been right on Bucks at 6 with you about who needed to step up, and I said Bobby Portis, and guess who stepped up? BP.
That's true. So should you say the Bucks are going to win game three? If you want me to tell you
who's going to step up or what's going to happen, I feel like I got a good track record on Bucks at 6, not so much 4-6 on Scalzo and Bruss.
All right, so who's going to step up, Ben?
Giannis. Crazy as it sounds, Giannis has never let us down. Giannis is not, hear me out, I know he had a triple-double. He was 9 of 25 from the field, 11 of 27. He has yet to be efficient going to the rim. He is going to put up 40 in one of these next two games at Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't foul out because of all the charges called on him. But I would like to see that as well. Ben, enjoy your couple days off and your pedicure. We will talk again next week.
Yeah, I didn't know that commentators could call more charges on the referees until Stan Van Gundy was on the call yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. He was not thrilled. That's Ben Brust. You can hear him 4-6 every day on these stations on Scalzo and Brust. You can also hear him on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network alongside Dave Kane. Saturday you'll hear him. And hopefully his track record continues to be great, and Giannis can turn it around at home, at least offensively, on Saturday. We will go around the NBA next, because I just have so many thoughts on that Memphis and Golden State game from last night. We had blood, we had middle fingers, we had Ja Morant doing just insane things as a 22-year-old guy. We'll get into all that next as we go around the NBA. This is Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin.